Part 14, Chapter 4. The small boy sped on feet of fire through the underground passages of the dungeons of the castle. He was soaked with the rain that fell outside. His bonnet was askew. His eyes were glowing with the urgency of a message he had carried for a 2-mile sprint through the dawn twilight. He identified a room ahead and tore into it, shouting,
"Prince Donaldine! Prince Donaldine! Wake up! Wake up!"
Donaldine had just settled down in his own room, in his own plaid blanket for a nice, comfortable snooze, his first in quite some time. The small boy was wrestling with excited hands to light a candle dip with a ratchet flint device. So it was Prince Donaldine now. They only called him that on feast days, or when somebody wanted a favor. His uncle, chief of Clan Fergus, was the last of the Stuarts and entitled to be called king. But he never made anything of it. The light was burning now. It shone upon the sparsely furnished stone-walled room. It showed the rain-drenched, excited, black-eyed boy, Bitty MacLeod.
"Your Squire Dwight! Your Squire Dwight has sent a message who he say is most urgent!"
Ah, this was different. Donaldine got up and reached for his clothes. Squire Dwight. Probably Dwight had used that because co-pilot would be an unknown word to this child.
"Your gillies are afoot, a settling amount. Your squire has said it was most urgent."
Donaldine glanced at his watch. It meant that the 12-hour radio silence was over. That was all. Probably a babble of news. Donaldine had no idea at all that things had gone other than successfully at the other mine sites, or that they'd succeeded at the compound. He got back into his flight clothes. No hurry. He took his time. What a busy night it had been. His and Dwight's plan had been to bring the chiefs across the sea to celebrate the victory. They had landed both ships on a flat place, 2 miles off so as not to shock the people. And he had borrowed a horse from a startled farmer he had known and ridden in. He had gotten his uncle, chief of Clan Fergus, out of bed, and gillies had flown to light the fires on the hills to gather the clans to hear the news. The mine site in Cornwall was no more. They would be free to roam the whole of England. The chief was very fond of his nephew, Donaldine, who was, in fact, his heir. He liked Donaldine's style, a true Scot. He had listened and raptured as Donaldine had given him a thumbnail, but torrential, account of all their doings. And if Donaldine were a bit incautious, the chief gave his attention while making very sure to reserve judgment and act in a wise way on the general scene, without spoiling Donaldine's flair. So he had ordered the beacons lighted. He was cautiously thrilled. Donaldine had then gone to see a lass and had asked her to marry him. And she had said,
"Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, Donaldine."
That attended to, he had come home for a nice snooze. Bitty seemed to be trying to remember something else. He was hopping from one bare foot to the other, squinting up his eyes, wiping at his nose. Then the boy seemed to abandon his effort. Donaldine was almost dressed. The boy's eyes caught the sword on the wall. It was a claymore, used in battles and for ceremony. It was a real clayed hemore, 5 feet long, not just a basket hilt saber. Bitty was gesturing at it, indicating the prince should wear it. Donaldine shook his head to signify no, he wasn't going to take it this time. When he saw the eagerness die in Bitty's eyes, Donaldine relented. He took it down and handed it to him.
"All right, but you carry it."
The sword was a foot taller than the boy. Worship, awe, and joy sprang up in the boy again as he draped the hanger around his neck